we present Best Sellers. Best Sellers, featuring great works by famous authors of today and yesterday. In June 1942, two German U-boats headed quietly into American waters, aimed at two isolated beaches. On board each craft was a team of four men, eight specialists, primed for an audacious mission, codenamed Operation Pistorius. But neither team knew of another passenger with an even greater mission that could shake the world. He was the Ninth Man. The Ninth Man. A chilling story based on historical fact by John Lee and dramatized for radio in 25 episodes by Victor Maxson.
Florida and New York teams, young Herbert Hans Haupt was the least likely prospect for a project of assault and destruction. Unlike the others, most of whom ended up in Germany because they believed in the German cause and wanted to contribute to the war effort, he had reached Germany through a series of stumbles and accidents, which had started a year earlier when a pretty young widow, Hedda Veglen, had told him she was pregnant. Comfortably enthroned in the armchair of his uncle's living room on Sunday, June 21st, 1942, he was treated as a returning hero by his family and friends, who knew little or nothing of what had happened to him during the intervening 12 months. The one to realize that all was not quite as it should be was the host himself, Arthur Haupt, who answered the ring at the door when the lad from Western Union arrived with the telegram.
Is the real reason for your coming back, Herbert?
I can't tell you, Uncle Otto. I'd like to, but I can't.
Does something to do with the war, doesn't it? You are an intelligence agent. That's why you've come back, isn't it? To spy. The telegram from New York. I don't know anybody in New York, Herbert, but it is addressed to me. So, I opened it. Were you expecting a telegram at this address?
Well, I might be getting some messages. I gave them your name and address.
That's the conclusion I came to. Are you sure you don't want to tell me about it, Herbert?
I can't. I'm under orders.
Well?
Look, all I can say is that it's very important. You will have to trust me. I can't say any more at the moment. Maybe later.
All right, Herbert. If that's the way you feel, here's your telegram. I will ask no more questions. I will not even ask which side you are working for. I don't want to know. Now read your telegram while I go back outside. Keep your father company.
Thank you, Uncle Otto.
Don't thank me. I'm not doing it for you. I do not approve, but I will say nothing. For the sake of your mother and father, I will say nothing.
Had things not happened so quickly, perhaps Huck would have explained things to his uncle. Not everything, of course, but enough for him to avoid any foolish mistakes. All he would have to do was pass the message on without giving anything away. After all, the Abwehr school had told him that Archer was a Bundes before the war. They assumed that the Florida team could depend on his cooperation.
Got a special package for you.
Oh, yeah? That's interesting. What's in it?
Personal belongings of George Dash, our German informer. Clothing, mainly. The important thing is a handkerchief. It's got some kind of secret writing on it. So, he tells us.
Yeah.
And I'm inclined to believe him. Addresses or something. He says they gave it to him back in Germany to help him contact the Florida team.
What makes you believe him?
I'm not dead beat for nothing. We've been interrogating him the whole weekend. Mind if I have some coffee?
Sure. Help yourself.
Never has a cup of coffee looked so good. Or tasted so good.
I hear the guys in New York cut three more of them.
Yeah. We just received a summary of their early statements on the teletype.
They started talking?
Not much. They're too scared, I guess. They've only been in the country for a week or so, and they can't figure out how we got onto them so fast. They were all arrested separately, so none of them knows what's happened to the others, or what they might or might not have said.
So what do I do to bring out the writing on this hanky?
Ammonia, we think. At least, that's what the informer says.
Uh-huh.
He couldn't remember at first. He was in one hell of a state of mind. Guess he's still pretty confused. One would have expected him to be a lot brighter, but he seems to be a bit on the dim side. Unless he's putting on one hell of a good act, which I doubt. You should hear him in those interrogation sessions. He's been running off his mouth almost non-stop since we pulled him in. But none of it makes much sense. I pity the poor guy who has to organize his statement.
Any of it relevant?
Oh, not much. Stuff about that training camp in Germany. A whole hell of a lot of anti-Nazi talk. How he'd been planning to give himself up even before they slipped out of the submarine. But when it comes to the meat, how we're going to get a quick line on these other four guys from Florida, he comes up with a big fat zero. Mm-hmm. We've got all the names, descriptions, too. But it won't do us a hell of a lot of good unless you come up with the address on that handkerchief.
Okay, I'll do it right away.
Good. Push it, will you? The old man is screaming for results.
But if the weekend is anything to go by, the stuff must have really hit the fan when the news first broke. If I wasn't sitting here with this man's personal belongings on my table, I still wouldn't have been able to believe it. How in Hades can two German submarines, sail in as large as you please, land two teams of saboteurs, each with enough explosives to last them for about 2 years, and sail out again without being seen by a single soul? Can you imagine what damage they could have done if that cash hadn't have been found?
Only too well. The point is, we don't know where the Florida team have stashed theirs yet. We're hoping to have them all in the bag before they get round to using it. If we don't, then a few heads are going to roll. When I say the old man is screaming for results, I mean screaming.
You're getting pretty thick with the old man, aren't you, Carter? He sat in on one of the strategy sessions the other day.
Yeah, I was there. Grover set it up for me. Hell of a good session. The old man clicks off ideas like a machine gun. He asked me to stick around afterwards, you know.
No bull.
Sure. After the session ended and the others started out, he told me to stick around for a chat.
Man, that's great. What did he say?
Just the usual thing. Said he heard I was doing a good job and told me to keep it up.
Yeah, I can just see him doing that. When it comes to that kind of credit, I couldn't see him giving a nickel to his closest relative.
Lab report bears out our informer's information. It was just a plain white handkerchief until exposed to the ammonia fumes. And then red lettering appeared across the white folds as clear as day. names and addresses. Three sets of them. One's in Lisbon. The two names that count right now are an Arthur Hout in Chicago and a Wilhelm Voss in New York. Get that out on a teletype with instructions that both men are to be watched on the off chance that they might lead us to the members of the Florida team. Contact will have to be made sooner or later.
I'll sit at the back here for a while. I should be able to spot Otto quite easily when my eyes get used to the darkness. The place is not too full. Hell, I don't know how I'm going to tell him. Even he couldn't have expected to hear from Curling so soon. Maybe I can wait a while. Put it off until tomorrow. At least until then. Give us a little more time to settle in. He's a pretty good guy in his way. Rated very highly at Ken's Lake. Kappa thought a hell of a lot of him. Always well ahead.
You might do well to learn a few things about Neubauer Haupt. He went back to the States in 1931, when you were just a boy of 11. He worked in restaurants and ships all over the country and turned his hand to almost anything. Pretty good cook, too. Ethan ran one of the food concessions at the Chicago World's Fair back in 34. Then he joined the Bund and later the Nazi Party and came back to Germany and did a lot of fighting on the Russian front. He has a few scars to show for it. Ask him about his experiences. He might be able to help you kindle a few fires of your own.
Yeah, scars all over his hip from an artillery shell. A scar on his cheek from a shrapnel shell. I should be able to... Yeah, there he is. About halfway down, next to the aisle. Excuse me. Hey, Otto, it's me. Move over.
Hey, kid. It's good to see you. How's the family?
Okay. Except my mother. Huh? She wasn't too keen on me leaving the house this afternoon. I told her I was going off to see one of my old high school buddies.
I guess they're very glad to see you, yeah?
Oh, you better believe it. I really knocked their eye out, too. Caught a cab from the bus station and rode up in style. You should have seen my old man's face when I tipped the driver.
Don't throw money around unnecessarily. We can't afford to attract too much attention.
Yeah, well, I'm not exactly throwing it around. I guess I just wanted to make an impression. Say, how's the movie? Any good?
Oh, not bad. You've missed most of it. The Nazis are evil, crude, and stupid. And working against them is Edward G. Robinson. The kindly, gentle government man. He never does anything wrong. Pretty true to life, eh?
What a guy. Say, you checked into an hotel yet?
Yeah, I'm at the La Salle. It's a dump, but it's handy to the vibe. I can work out on the barbells every day and keep in shape. Eh? You'd do well to keep in shape. I'll be waiting to.
Hey. That was pretty neat.
Yeah.
George Sanders telling the secret agent Francis Lederer to get hold of 35 blank American passports for the German spy ring. He puts through a phone call to New York passport office, pretends to be the Secretary of State, asks for the blank passports to be delivered to him at the desk of a Manhattan hotel, and Bob's your uncle.
He'll never get away with it. That government man is too clever. I don't suppose you've heard anything from Curling yet.
Huh? Curling? Why do you ask?
I don't know. I just thought maybe he'd let us know when he got to New York safely.
He wouldn't bother to tell us anything like that. He'll save the messages for something important.
Yeah. I guess it's too early for the important part, eh?
Yeah, I guess it is.
I wonder what the hell it's going to be.
Yeah, I wonder.
Hey, there. Huh? What did I tell you? The German spy letter would walk straight into a trap when he went to the hotel to pick up the passports. Government agents have dragged him off to the FBI office. And there's Edward G. Robinson puffing away contentedly on his pipe. All set to break him down with trick questions.
Letter is a fool. A spy with any sense would see what the FBI man was up to.
Yeah.
Keep his mouth shut and wait for a lawyer.
That's the trouble with spies. Always rushing into things.
Yeah, that sure is what they do in the movies, eh? And the audience seems to like it. The war has already been won in the good old U.S. of A.
Monday, June 22nd, 1942, the 10th day after the landing. The ninth man hadn't been able to see the small sign on the gate with the gold lettering as he drove past the east gate the day before. This time it was easier because he was able to walk right up to it.
White House tours, Tuesday to Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon. Too bad. Would have been helpful to begin with a close look at the inside of the building.
Does that really matter? The guidebook says the White House tours are usually restricted to a few of the public rooms on the ground floor. So there's nothing you could do about it.
But what an opportunity for possible diversionary gambits for the curling and dash teams. Might be useful to have them take the tour when they arrive. Two or three men inside the White House to create a distraction. Another man waiting with a getaway car. Yet another, ready to lay a false escape trail for the police. Or at least ready to broadcast false calls on the police bands to create confusion. I could do it without them, but it would be so much easier with help.
Something like 132 rooms.
How does a man in a wheelchair use a bathroom? Does he have the Secret Service agents trained to lift him off the wheelchair and deposit him on the commode?
Gaining entrance is the problem.
I could go in as a tourist.
Sure, and stand in line with a few hundred people, carrying an explosive device, inch forward a few feet at a time until I let you in. Ask one of the swarms of White House policemen.
Where is a good place to put a demolition device to make sure it's below the president's bedroom? Come on, fella. You're supposed to know the answers, aren't you?
Well, sir, I'd suggest the Red Room. If the president sleeps with his wife tonight, you're out of luck. But then, that hasn't happened for years. Ah, your tourist booklet shows his bedroom above the Blue Room. Well, now, I'd say that scale is off a bit. I'd say the Red Room, perhaps near the east wall. Just put your bomb in that antique desk and move along. There are other people waiting to come in. After all, as the president says, his house belongs to all the people. It isn't fair to dally.
Actually, that isn't as silly as it sounds. I could do it that way. It's an old building, structurally unsound. There might be a way of bringing a bomb in, a way that's unlikely to be noticed. I could set up a charge that would rip the place to pieces, or an incendiary that would turn the place into a sheet of flame. The president is completely helpless. Unless he sleeps with Secret Servicemen at the foot of his bed.
Perhaps you could lure one of the enlisted men aside, corner him, and kill him. There are enough of them around. Armed with the proper papers, you could become a temporary White House sentry yourself. Wouldn't take long. time enough to get behind the west wing within sight of the Oval Office. Then the enlisted man's rifle off your shoulder. A shot through the window. And it would be over. Just like that.
Except for one single thing. Once the shot is fired, they would come at me from all directions. They'd cut me to pieces before I'd covered 20 feet. No, I have no wish to be a dead martyr. Success is important, but so is survival. I'd rather take them together. Yeah, I'll need a longer time inside. Time to analyze the situation. Time to set up my escape.
An almost permanent access. Something which will allow you to come and go at will without being noticed. A job of some kind, perhaps. Gardener. Cook.
Could I create an opening for myself by arranging accidents for some of the regulars?
But what if the Secret Service check out kitchen and garden employees? They must do. And how long would it take you to set up a credible background as a loyal dishwasher or a stable lawnmower?
And even if I could manage, would a menial job give me the access I need?
Perhaps a radio technician. This president likes the sound of his own voice, likes to talk to groups, to officials, in person, on the radio. Perhaps if you can wangle a position as a technician and wire his microphone for electrocution. A presidential fireside radio barbecue. Good evening, my fellow Americans. Quite effective.
No. It'll have to be some other way. Perhaps as a working member of the executive wing. People coming in and out of the Northwest Gate all the time, showing ID cards to the gate guards. Army officers, businessmen, newspaper reporters, photographers. None of them seem to excite the guards. Now, that's an idea. Suppose I seek entry as a newspaperman. Somewhere among the identity papers prepared for me in Germany is a press card made out in one of the Pittsburgh newspapers.
It'll never withstand the checking you would undoubtedly face in getting into the White House. One call to Pittsburgh, and it'll all be over.
Still, if I have the run of the West Wing, my job will be made quite simple. Close enough to the president to spit on him. Within easy access of West Executive Avenue for a quick escape, I could have Carling and his men prepared to cover my withdrawal while the DASH team works at the other end of the grounds, creating a distraction.
Well, places, huh?
There must be a simple way to go through that without being stopped.
This afternoon, perhaps. After you've found a quiet place to live and hide, you can go on sleeping in the motor car on the country roads and back alleys. You can do some research. Ask some questions.
Yes. Surely there's a procedure. A viable procedure for a man willing to take chances.
It's me again.
Well, well, well. Andrew Blazek, our shy friend from the back hall. What is it this time? Another request from those greedy generals of yours?
Yeah, sort of. Steve Early, is he in there?
No, he's with the president.
Oh, good. Look, I need a favor, Cora. The Post ran a shot of General Burroughs last Thursday with those two Navy flyers who came in for medals. He wants prints.
Oh, hell. Would you believe Burroughs again? I thought for sure the admirals would freeze him out this time. How does he do it? Is it that wavy gray hair and his dimpled chin?
Yeah, I think you just happened to be standing around at the right time. Look, Cora, the general wants 10 8x10 glossies of that one that ran in the magazine, and 6 each of everything else the photographer got. I called the Post this morning, but I guess I talked to the wrong person. Could you send a request for me?
I suppose he wants them for free.
Well, look, if it's too much trouble, I'm...
Never mind. Don't worry about it. I'll make a note. Do you think the General will mind if we pare the number a bit?
Oh, don't prune it too much. I think he plans to send them to some camp newspapers. Damn this tie. I suppose it's off-center again, huh?
Oh, here, let me straighten it for you. Ah, there we are. Sometimes I think you need a mother, Andy. I almost wish you were unattached. I'd put in for the job myself.
Oh, Agent Fenton, isn't it?
I didn't mean to interrupt. This will just take a second, then you two can carry on.
What do you want, Jerry?
A list of the European correspondents who wanted to talk to the British PM this afternoon. Calhoun wants us to check them out. Can you lend it to me for a few minutes?
I think the British security people have already okayed it.
Yeah, I know. But Calhoun wants a double check.
Okay, I'll get it. Stick around, Annie. I want to go with those picture requests again.
Sorry about that. Hate to mess up another guy's play. Maybe you should have closed the door.
I wasn't making a play. She was fixing my tie.
Sure. Say, did you hear the latest on that thing we talked about the other day?
What thing?
The spies. Those Germans who supposedly landed from a submarine. I told you about them at Hyde Park.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember. What about them?
Well, it turns out there really were some spies.
What?
The FBI picked up a bunch of them Saturday. There were four of them.
That was Episode 13 of The Ninth Man by John Lee. Adapted and directed for broadcasting in 25 parts by Victor Mackeson. You have been listening to Best Sellers, featuring the masterworks of famous authors that have captured the imagination of the world.